Welcome to part two of the podcast for Death and Devils, the new play by G. Reilly Mills, directed by myself, Darren Callahan, and coming this May 2010 to the Dionysus Cup Festival of New Plays, which is a festival sponsored by the Polarity Ensemble Theater of Chicago in Wicker Park. More about the performances and the times will follow at the end of the broadcast, but just wanted to spend 5 minutes here with playwright G. Reilly Mills to talk a little bit about the play itself. Because it's a new work, some people might not be familiar with it. It's the true story of a few decades in the life of John R. Brinkley, who was a very rich and famous person from Kansas. He ran for governor. He started a hospital. All along the way, he was, in fact, a big fraud. He was not a true doctor, and he did a lot of things that were considered very, very dangerous and suspect, and made quite big enemies with the American Medical Association, who eventually shut him down. So the play is rich in dramatic stuff from the early 20th century, and if you like things like Citizen Kane or All the King's Men or There Will Be Blood or fun, excitable pieces from that time, you're really going to enjoy it. Well, first I'd like to talk a little bit more about John R. Brinkley because he's such a fascinating centerpiece for this play. Played by Kevin Stark and his wife played by Kayla Altman, they have a really interesting dynamic, and he did a lot of things that were very unusual and very unique in his time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so obviously the main thing that Brinkley is known for is, you know, he claimed back in the 20s that he could rejuvenate a person's glands and he could heal them. He could make them live for, you know, 50 years extra by just taking their sick heart and putting a good heart in. And so this gland rejuvenation became this, it was kind of a big deal back in the 20s, and it kind of swept the country where, you know, doctors would claim that by rejuvenating the glands or replacing the worn out glands, people would be cured, people would live longer. So, you know, when Brinkley, his big claim to fame, obviously, as the play talks about, is he claimed that he could cure impotent men by replacing their worn out glands, their testicles, with the glands of a virile young goat. And suddenly they would, you know, be able to have children and perform and be, you know, all they wanted to be. So that's what he's famous for, is this gland rejuvenation that he made millions and millions of dollars across the country, all over the world, doing this gland rejuvenation, which, you know, we deal with in the play. But also in this process, he was famous for a couple other things. And he really changed a couple different things. Number one is politics. He ended up running for governor of Kansas and winning more votes than the Democrat or the Republican in that election, which we cover in the play. That whole part of his life is dealt with. But he changed politics in that he was the first person ever to use a private plane to campaign, to fly from one location to a rally, fly to another location to a rally in the same day, and then fly to another location, do three rallies in three different cities. Before that, no one had done that. So Brinkley is really, you know, a groundbreaking figure in politics. Also in radio, he was one of the first people to own a radio station and put on what he called hillbilly Hollywood music, which is basically country music. In between his bizarre and hilarious and weird goat gland lectures, while he was doing the surgeries, he would need to fill that airtime. So what he would do is he would put country music people on, bluegrass country music performers. He was the first person to put, put the Carter Sisters, Gene Autry, Roy Rogers. A lot of them got their start on Brinkley's radio station in between his goat gland speeches and, you know, lectures. He would play this hillbilly Hollywood music, he called it. And so he really was the first person to give wide exposure across the country to country music artists. So those are just a couple of things that, you know, we deal with in the play as well. You know, all of these worlds that this guy inhabited, you know, he was a radio man, he was a politician, he was almost a preacher. You know, his father actually was a preacher. So he definitely used the Bible to sort of reel people in and seduce people, bring them into his world. And then, you know, his medical, you know, the things he did medically were you know, definitely part of his legacy.
You know, as you can probably tell from hearing about this guy's life, we discovered in the play there's a lot of moments of complete ridiculousness because what he's doing in today's eyes kind of seem strange. But there's a lot of things that are in the play that I think are really interesting, because there's a moment in the courtroom scene, the big showdown finale with him and the AMA, that he talks just like a modern politician might talk about. Yeah, he doesn't know how many Carzione's, which is similar to who's the
John pilot? McCain.
John McCain, yeah, doesn't know how many houses he owns. And there's several things throughout the play that kind of resonate today. Did you consciously do that? Is that ripped from the pages of history? How did you think about that?
You know what? I think a lot of that came from, I think some of it came from the court transcripts, but he was a very, not only charismatic guy, but he had an ego the size of, you know, an iceberg. He was just a very big egomaniac, huge, bigger than life character. And when he gets on the stand, he's got his sharp white suit and he's got his $4,500 diamond ring on one hand, a $1,000 diamond ring on another hand. He has a golden toothpick that he uses while he's on the stand to clean his teeth. He's picking his ear with it. It was just this bizarre, you know, he drove up in his Cadillac with the gold hubcaps. He had a yacht with his name painted on the side. He was just, you know, this bigger than life guy. And I think he thought no one could take him down. And for, you know, 20, 30 years, no one could. No one could touch him because he would sneak around different laws. He would sneak around different restrictions for, you know, what it took to be a doctor at the time. And he believed he was pushing the boundaries of science, and he was pushing the boundaries and experimenting with different procedures. And he thought it was a freedom of speech issue, that you can't shut me down because if you stop progress and if you stop this experimentation, it's going to stall medicine where we are right now. It's just, as we find out, he didn't quite go about it the right way. For example, he bought his medical license and never went to medical school. That was a problem.
No, say it isn't so. All that stuff is good. Well, if you want to learn more about the life of John R. Brinkley and those closest to him and those who targeted him as a villain, please come out and see the show. It runs in the May Dionysus Cup of New Plays Festival, sponsored by Polarity Ensemble Theater. This play runs two performances. It runs Friday, May the 14th, 2010 at 7:30 p.m. And it also runs Sunday, May the 23rd, at 2 p.m. Central Time here in Chicago. There are three other plays in the play festival, and we suggest you check them all out. They're all very exciting new works by local playwrights such as G. Reilly Mills, and they're all very exciting. So come on out, buy a festival pass, and see some great drama.